question I was wondering about this morning is, what makes you happy? The opening psalm that I did during the light of the candles talked about being happy. The psalm that Kim read this morning also spoke about what it means to be happy. So what makes you happy? Is it that first cup of coffee in the morning? Maybe putting in the last piece of a jigsaw puzzle? Maybe it's making that final payment on the car and knowing that it still runs. Maybe it's, as one person I used to work with back in my younger days talked about, he was very happy that he found the snake that escaped from the cage in his kid's bedroom. That make you happy? What makes you happy? Crotchety old George Burns used to say that three things in life made him truly happy. First, happiness was having a large, loving, caring, and close-knit family, especially if they lived in another city. The second thing that made him happy, he said, was happiness is being stopped by a nasty-looking 240-pound motorcycle cop and having him compliment you on your driving. And finally, Burns said, happiness is hearing your teenage kids say, "You know, Dad, you were right." As I mentioned, our scripture lessons this morning are all about happiness. Perhaps it is happiness, but it is happiness that has us looking in a different direction. Eugene Peterson, who translated the Message Bible, translated the first psalm, the psalm I read during the lighting of the candles, this way: "How happy you are. How well God must like you. You don't hang out at the sin saloon. You don't slink along dead-end road. You don't go to smart mouth college. Instead, you thrill to God's word. You chew on scripture day by day. You are a tree planted at Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month and never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. You are not at all like the wicked, who are mere wind-blown dust, without defense in court, unfit company for innocent people. God charts the road you take. The road they take is Skid Row, but your road is the way to life." Happiness, according to the psalmist, is in choosing which road you're going to take, which path. Saying yes to the right things and saying no to the wrong things. Jesus, in our second lesson, which is from the Gospel of Luke, has a similar message. And since I enjoy reading Eugene Peterson's Message Bible translation, let me read this from his translation. "You are blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. You are blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Then you're ready for the messianic meal. You are blessed when tears flow freely. Joy comes in the morning. Count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out. Every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is that truth is too close for comfort, and that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Skip like a lamb if you like, for even though they don't like it, I do. And all have applause. And know that you are in good company. My preachers are witnesses and have all been treated like this. But it's trouble ahead if you think you haven't made. What you have is all you'll ever get. And it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. And it's trouble ahead if you think it's life is all fun and games. There's suffering to be met, and you are going to meet it. There's trouble ahead if you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them and doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers have been approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. To be true. Last Wednesday, as we know, was Halloween, which gets its name from the fact that it is the day, actually the evening before, All Saints' Day, and thus the name, historically, was All Hallows' Eve, or shortened to Halloween. All Saints' Day is November 1st on the calendar. The Sunday that's following is sometimes referred to as All Saints' Sunday. And it might be good to consider the saints of the church, the saints of the church who knew what the path was to happiness. Now, in the Catholic Church, there is a formal way of determining who are the saints, but in the Protestant tradition, particularly the Presbyterian tradition, we see all who are faithful as saints. And if we think about it, it is the faithful that often show us the path that we should take. I remember in the church I came from, a big church, a couple thousand members, and a couple that was in their 80s moved to our town and joined our church. In a church that size, they would easily not be noticed. And yet it didn't take long for Charlie and Bernice to be recognized by the members of that church for their saintliness, the way they treated others, the way they held themselves, the way that you just knew that here was someone who was happy having chosen a path to follow God. You know, we make those sorts of choices every day, and many of the choices we make are not based on our relationship with God. They're based on something else, whether it's our desire for pleasure, our desire for attention, our desire to be popular, the desire to be fit in, the desire to be rich. Many times our choices head that way, and in the end, however, we are looking for something we can't find in those choices. We're looking for something that will make us happy, and yet we won't find it there. We think that it's money that will make us happy. We think that it's security from having money that makes us happy. We think that the fact that we can control our future, if we had enough health, that make us happy. Or maybe it's just the attention we want that will make us happy. But both the psalmist and Jesus remind us how fleeting our quest for happiness is. Watch out when you think life is fun and games. Watch out if you seek self-satisfaction. Watch out if you think you have it made. These are the warnings that Jesus gave to his disciples and to us, that we too easily seek our happiness in the wrong places. The psalmist made happiness a choice of two paths. The poet Robert Frost said it another way. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler long I stood and looked down the road as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. And then I took the other just as far. We are travelers on the path today, and the choices we make are many. from what we watch on TV to what we buy in the stores to what we say about people. Most of the time, we don't think about our choices. They come from habit or instinct or what seems to satisfy us in the moment. Our everyday decisions are ingrained in us, so we don't even realize we make them. But our scripture invites us to stop and consider the choices we make, not just the big decisions, but the little ones, the ones we make every day. The ones that we don't often consider the impact of, but it would do us well to do that. Scripture invites us to stop and make our choices and choose the choice that leads to blessedness, that leads to happiness. Frost ended his poem with these words, "Then I took the other just as fair. I shall be telling this with a sigh, that somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference." We have the path that is more traveled by in our society, and then there's the road Jesus calls us, the one that is less traveled by in our culture today. But it is the one that will make all the difference. Amen.